down to Biscayne. Yay. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got it all banned. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome into you. Floor is yours, an extension of Five on the Floor here on the Five Reasons YouTube channel. I want to thank our sponsors today before we get to our panel. Also, our producer, Alejandro Villegas, who just disappeared. Our sponsors, we'll tell you about one of them to start, prizepicks.com. Use that code 5, F-I-V-E. There's still plenty to do on there. I know there's no NBA games. You can still use that code for lots of stuff, whether you're MMA, MLB, etc. But also, they got the NFL props already up there. So check those out. Over at Prize Picks, use the code 5, get your 100% match on your deposit. Again, it's prizepicks.com. You can also download it off the Google Play Store or the App Store. So go to Prize Picks, get that downloaded. If you need to know how to play, we do shows here all the time on the channel as well. And again, you can play 2, 3, 4, 5 players together. You can mix players from different sports, different teams. So check out Prize Picks. Make sure you're using that code 5. All right, here's the panel today. No Greg Sylvander today. You can catch his work on our Off the Floor feed. He's been posting some little nuggets here from time to time. I saw he had a bunch of new subscribers today, so actually I got to check out to see what he posted. We do post that frequently on our Twitter handle, so Five Reasons Sports, so you can check that out. That's just $3.05 a month, but you get a 7-day trial, so give it a shot this week and see where you want to go with it. It's a lot of stuff from me, Alex, and Brady as well. All right, our panel today, Brady Hawk. You can follow him at BradyHawk305. We've got our guy Timothy Bain. You can follow him at Timmy with a whole bunch of A's. And we've got Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. So we are 2 days away from the NBA draft. The Heat have a pick. We just did an episode on this on Five on the Floor on some potential picks for them. I think we're kind of split, all of us, sort of on whether or not they're actually going to use this pick for themselves, whether it's going to be used for something else. But I'm going to throw out a few different topics here that I think we can kind of dive into. Obviously, the PJ Tucker situation was addressed last night on the podcast, him opting out. Caleb Martin also has gotten a qualifying offer, but he could become a free agent. I'm going to throw this to let's see. Let's start here with Brady on this one. It's not necessarily mutually exclusive. Oh, hello. Our posters are back. Jose Matas with an F Boston. We like that. And also super chat. You post the super chats, we'll make sure we get to them. But Brady, let me go to you on this. If you can only keep one, and money is a bit of a factor because you're talking luxury tax and it starts to get expensive once you get to get in there. There are different mechanisms to keep guys, obviously. Who do you think is more important to this team going forward, PJ Tucker or Caleb Martin?
Oh, it's PJ Tucker. I think there's ways you could say because of the money, because I think there's teams, contending teams that they've thrown out there that could throw the bag at him. Like he did opt out and we all knew that was coming, and it was kind of because you're kind of getting a raise with your own team if they wanted to and give them maybe extra an extra year, extra money or whatever it is. But other teams could throw more money at him. Like, it just is what it is. But if you're saying anything at all, like it is PJ Tucker. I just think you learn this season of how valuable he can be. I think there's upside with Caleb. I think it makes sense at the right price. I think they probably do end up getting him back as well. But you could see, even when they just threw that out there, like about the Tucker opting out, every team out there or team's fan bases were screaming to get PJ Tucker because he could just plug in, he could defend your best player, and he could do things. And if you look at this postseason, we had a lot of podcasts talking down on certain players, kind of not playing up to their certain level. It was Jimmy and it was PJ Tucker that basically kept their same level. And I guess Gabe Vincent you could throw in there as well. But PJ Tucker was the one guy in that grouping that just played to his standard. And that was with playing a bunch of games in the regular season. When guys like Bam went down, he stepped up and played a different role. And ultimately, the day he opts out, he's like in a Tim Hardaway jersey at the Heat Arena. Like everything that goes with it, it just feels like he's going to be back. And I do think he's probably more important, I guess, moving forward.
Is that part of a timeline thing, though, Timmy? Because I think in most cases, you would look at a guy who you just got a lot out of, right? Like, I mean, you kind of unlocked him to a certain degree. He adds athleticism to the team. You don't have a lot of that on the roster. It's pretty much Bam and nobody else. I mean, it's not a very athletic team. We've discussed that. He's one of the few above the rim guys that they've got. He defends multiple positions. The three-pointer was coming along. It kind of hit a little bit of a wall in the playoffs at times, but it was coming along. He seems to be a good team guy. He fits the Heat culture, and he's younger. I'm not making the case for him over PJ, but is it really timeline that we're talking about here? Is that because Jimmy has a window?
If we have to choose, I guess I would have to say Tucker over Caleb because of the win now, Jimmy Bill type of stuff. But I still think, I hope that we could keep well too. But if it came down to that, yes, Caleb is younger, fresher legs, you know, has more room to grow. But Tucker, he's just solid. Like, you know, he's going to get it's still absurd that he shot 47% from the corner. I just think you have to, you know, if Riley wants to get one more ring before he retires in the next 3 to 5 years, or at least with this Jimmy Bill, this Bill with Jimmy is a top 10 player, then you can't wait on what Caleb maybe can do. You need to know what Tucker can give you, especially from that four position next to Bob.
Alex, I'll ask this question that was just asked on the chat here. What is an ideal deal for PJ? Because he opted out for a reason. We don't really think he wants to leave, right? So, like, I mean, you're basically extending him another year at the same number. Would you go higher?
Well, the thing is, I think the years is going to be what's up in the air. Like, would you be surprised if the Heat just catered to him and gave him the full 3 years just to make sure that he retires on the Heat and that that's not an issue, that they keep that guy here for, you know, whatever the iteration of the team looks like? I don't know, right? Like, maybe it is just a one-year deal, but it seems to me that he's eligible for around 3 years, 26 mil. Shout out Brian Goins, just off of the percent increase that he's eligible for next season. So I think that's best case scenario. If, you know, if that is what he wants for 3 years, give him that. And it's better than having to give him the full mid-level, which would take you out of being able to use it for other things, which they're probably going to try to split it among maybe Caleb, a guy like that, or another free agent, but it keeps them more flexible that way. So, and I said on the pod last night, if excuse me, if he wanted the full mid level, I would give it to him. So I'm definitely good with him taking less than that.
Let me ask this question. If he is a starter next season, Brady, is that a problem? Do they need to get a four to kind of at least massage his minutes throughout the season? If PJ is the starting four, have they failed this offseason to upgrade the roster at that position?
I wouldn't say they failed it, because there's a lot of scenarios where he's the starting four and you have a Bradley Beal or Donovan Mitchell at the two, because you use your salary in Duncan Robinson and your assets to kind of get that star player. And you kind of just stayed with PJ and re-signed. So I don't think it would be a failure in that sense. But if you're saying in terms of keeping things the same and kind of changing things around the margins, I think it probably is. Like, you need PJ Tucker insurance to some capacity. Like, we said stuff about Markieff Morris could be that. Caleb was that at times. But now it's that you want to preserve a lot of these guys. Like, a guy that's 37, you want to preserve him to be the same as he was in this past postseason. Like, if you put him through another regular season next to Bam in the starting lineup, I don't know if we get the same success that he had in the playoffs. And I think there's still the element of, yes, he's still going to be great defensively and you're going to be using him probably closing games, a lot of these games. But I still come back to the fact that I think an above the break shooter just does wonders to your two best players. Like, their two best players are Jimmy Butler, who is primarily an attacker that gets to the rim off pick and rolls, that needs a pick and pop threat. Like, that would kind of excel him as an offensive threat. And then there's Bam Adebayo, who's a roller, who has a guy that they've made it work, but there's times where PJ's in the dunker spot in the corner where they're helping off and they crowd him as well. Like, it just makes a lot of sense, I think, offensively to get somebody that can shoot above the break, probably be a little bit more athletic. But the ideal fit is somebody that can still switch, like, not somebody that's going to be played off the four at the five that you're saying PJ is going to be playing the same amount of minutes or more minutes because that guy is getting torched defensively and dropped. Like, that was the Christian Wood factor, I guess, before he got traded to Dallas, but that's kind of where I come down with it. I wouldn't say it's a failure, but I think they really do need that piece just to maximize this team.
And we did a whole episode the other day about Bam being a four or five. And I think we all kind of came to the same conclusion on that one, that it wouldn't hurt to get another big body in there, but it's not necessarily a position thing with Bam.
Mobamba.
What's that? Oh, okay. Mobamba. Well, you know what? Let me go to you on that, because that's one of the guys I wanted to talk about today. Cause there's been a lot of noise about Mobamba for a while now. And I guess here's where I come down to this. Obviously there was talent there. I mean, there was talent. He was, you know, prior to him getting drafted. I mean, there was a lot of buzz about him for sure. He's had moments there. I mean, he was blocked at first by Vucevic, but then he really wasn't. But the consistency level, I mean, is this just a sort of bet on the Heat to develop a guy thing, him to a better environment?
I think it's that, but he had a pretty, and remember that in the bubble, he never recovered from COVID, so that was basically a wasted year. But he had a pretty good stretch of games last year when he was hitting the three blocking shots. And we've always said the perfect person next to Bam, someone who can run the floor, maybe spot up in the wing, spot up on top of the key, and play defense. But jokes aside, I think for me, Bo Bamba is if you don't get the Whale, if you don't get like the John Collins or the Jeremy Grant, like someone who could play maybe with Bam and behind Bam. So that's like a option like 5 or 6. But realistically, like I said, because the Magic, you never know what the Magic are going to do. But they're going to probably draft Jabari Smith. And the next talk is they're going to be taking on a bad contract. So I just don't see where he stays. There was talks of going to New York, but they already have Mitchell Robinson and they might draft another center. So, he doesn't have to move too far. But that's definitely my if everyone else is gone, if you can't upgrade, if you can't get a Whale this summer, if you can't get Grant Collins, I think Mo Bamba would be a steady increase for this team.
I mean, Alex, when you look at again his game, we talk about kind of interchangeable pieces where you can play Bam at the 4 times, you can play Bam at the 5 sometimes. I feel it is worth a look. I will sort of caution on this though. The Heat, for all of their development, have not really over the years been able to kind of get the big who's been a disappointment somewhere else to flourish. Now, some of it was injury related. Obviously, Greg Oden was one. Eddie Curry experiment. There have been experiments over the years. So, again, Bamba's younger. He doesn't come with sort of that injury baggage, at least not recently. So I feel like there's something there. But what do you feel about that one?
The thing is, that is the type of guy who I think could fit that archetype, right? Like the stretch big that people want playing next to Bam. I think theoretically he fits it. It's a thing I think you could try out for stretches, right? It's like, something you could experiment with during the season, see if that's something that's a viable option. I like the idea. Like, I think that's kind of an upgrade from Deadman, No slander to him. Like I said last night on the show, I just think you get a guy who's 24, who was a top pick a few years ago at that price. We haven't really talked about a specific price, but last night me and Leif were talking about potentially getting him. He said he wanted to get him for around $6 million, which is the taxpayer mid-level exception. Mm-hmm. So to kind of allocate that amount for him. And I think that would make a lot of sense, even though he's making $10 million right now in the rookie scale deal. I don't know how many teams would give him a lot more or something similar to that. So if he would be able to get him at that price, I think that's an awesome, like, bang for your buck type of move. And again, not to talk about players like assets, but we're in free agency season, we're in transaction season. And I think that would be a good scenario for Bamba as well. Whether it's playing with or without Bam, I think he would be a pretty good fit there. And he's somebody who I think, maybe his minutes get cut a little bit in the playoffs, but he can still be that kind of like that 10th guy, I think, 9th guy maybe.
I want to get into the Kyrie discussion here in a second because I'm seeing a lot of this on the chats. And I didn't get in on it yesterday because our internet, Brady and I, our internet was down in Fort Lauderdale. Thank you, Xfinity. So I know Greg and Alex handled it, but I want to get to it here a little bit. Before I do, once I have another sponsor, betteredge.com. That's BETTOREDGE.com/5Reasons. This is our new betting partner here at 5 Reasons. You get $20 when you play. It's peer-to-peer betting. The cool thing about it is, first thing, it's legal. It's legal in the state of Florida, so it's not offshore. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff. We all know what's going on with Hard Rock and everything else. But you can also find the line that you want. So check it out. It's BetterEdge, B-E-T-T. There it is. Thank you, Alejandro. BetterEdge.com/5Reasons. You get $20 to play automatically. So like our guy Sean Rochester has been playing a lot of this. Basically, you go on one side and they got MLB now and other stuff. And again, get geared up for NFL. Sign up now because this promotion is not going to last forever. But basically, you can find the line that you want. So if you want someone to win by, you expect someone to win by a certain number of runs, you'll find something on the other side. And then you can decide not only how much you want to gamble, but how much you want to potentially win. So check it out. That's the referral bonus. That's our page there. Just go to BetterEdge, BETTORE, Patreon.com/5reasons. And our guy, Alex Dono, who's coming back later this week with his daily show, he's going to be doing that too. What is that with Alex? What's the picture that's just showed up there? It's just frozen. All right, let's get to the next one here. I want to have the Kyrie conversation here. Okay. I was going to go to Alex on this first, but he's frozen in time, so we won't be able to do that. Brady's been doing these articles on the site. Look at that. Brady's been doing these articles on the site. Donovan Mitchell, Bradley Beal, and Fitz. Okay. Let's just talk about Kyrie as a basketball player. Okay. Because the other stuff, whether the Heat could deal with that, whether an organization that required everybody to get vaccinated and boosted. I can tell you that Pat, after dealing with LeBron and Shaq, didn't really want to deal with Kawhi because he'd heard that his sort of group was even harder to deal with them. I mean, they made a pitch, but it was definitely a concern. Kyrie is like Kawhi, you know, in terms of distraction on like steroids. I mean, Kawhi doesn't create any problems other than, you know, sometimes when he doesn't rehab or doesn't want to rehab the way the team wants him to. Let me ask you, Brady, from a basketball perspective, is he the perfect fit?
It's funny because quickly before the basketball thing, like if the Heat organization thinks they can handle it, like then I feel like everybody would buy in, like the fan base in general. But as a basketball player, like it's clear that he fits. Like if we're talking about somebody, I know that video was going around where like Jimmy said the ideal player he'd want to play with back like when he was with Chicago, and he said Kyrie because he just loves him as a basketball player. That's the type of guy that takes a lot of pressure off a player like Jimmy. Like to see Beal right there in the comments, or Donovan Mitchell's, or Kyrie, these type of scorers that can just handle the ball. The reason I want to say, make the Kyrie versus Beal conversation, but the fact that Beal can move off the ball a little bit more is more intriguing, I feel like, from a basketball perspective, just the way that Spo runs things or the team runs things. But if you can have a point guard that's just out there that can just score at will, like we saw in that Nets game against the Heat back at, I don't even remember when it was, just early, midway through the season, like that's ideal for Jimmy Butler. Like if you're trying to find a way to maximize his play offensively, but it's just weird. It's like weird because we talk about so many of these players like in the Heat system. And then when you talk about Kyrie, it's just like, it's just different. Like it's just a different perspective as a basketball player because we're talking about so many of these twos and just so many of these different players. But a guy that could pound the ball and make plays off the dribble in isolation, get to the rim. Like I don't think it's crazy to say that Spo can kind of change him around and make him a high level player on this team. But it's just kind of, that's one tiny percentage, I guess, of Kyrie Irving is the basketball stuff.
Alex, your thoughts? No, actually, let's go to Timmy. We've been off for a while, but I mean, does he realize he's frozen? I'm not really sure.
What do you mean? You can't see me right now?
No, it's frozen. We see the house. But
we see the house.
I took that off like so quickly. Oh my god! Yeah. I should have just never messed around with it.
This has been like the last 8 minutes, basically. Anyway, Timmy, let's go to you. Let's go on the other stuff. Let's go on the other stuff. We know that this is not an organization that's typically afraid of anybody, right?
Mm-hmm. But
this guy,
Kyrie, is a different beast. Like what was the quote we just saying? A different animal. Like not a good way for Kyrie. Like I do not think. You have a guy who missed 3 weeks, which just so happens to coincide with his father's and his sister's birthday, to just take away some time. He didn't want players to go to the bubble. He said he was going to march with workers to not get vaccinated, but didn't really say it ever again. Like Kyrie in 2K, like I love the Kyrie in 2K. Like I love his game. Like they call him like, you know, Indian AI. Like he's great. He's beautiful to watch, but no. I do not, especially when you have a team where Spo and Jimmy went at it on the team. Like, I don't think you need Kyrie Irving on this team. I just don't think it's worth the extra, you know? The man left LeBron because, what was his excuse? Like, because LeBron's personal trainer was hired. He was like, it was just, you left arguably the greatest player of all time because you wanted the media to ask you what you like. So imagine Ethan, he wants you to ask him about this, the temperature in the room, and he gets upset at you and misses 3 to 5 games. Like that's what you're dealing with here with a Kyrie Irving.
Well, I've always told this story. When I first got to Cleveland, not something I like to remember, but when I was covering LeBron for Bleacher Report in 2014, the first thing I was told about Kyrie Irving was nobody in the locker room had his phone number. That basically they were all Deion fans and not Kyrie. And if you know with what the Heat dealt with Deion, That'll tell you just about everything. But Alex, I'll go to you. Let's just say pure basketball. Let's just do the pure basketball thing. We're not going to do the transaction thing or anything else. For this Heat team, you can have Beal, Mitchell, LaVine, or Kyrie Irving for the next 3 years. Which one do you want?
Ooh, wow. You're really giving me the pick of the litter here, huh? Tough questions right out the bat. My quick reaction, I'm going to have to go. I think I'm going to stick with my answer from before. I'm going to stick with LaVine. I think he's kind of like the in-between between Beal and Mitchell in the sense that like he's taller, more athletic than them. Is in between them in age. So you're kind of getting like a win now player, somebody who is a three level scorer, can do it on or off ball. Like Brady was talking about with Beal, I think LaVine has gotten a lot better at that stuff over the years, become more responsible playmaker. Not that, you know, he's an elite level playmaker or anything, but just for his position, you know, it's those are the types of steps that I think you're going to want to see from Hero over the years. I think LaVine will be awesome to just give that bounce of athleticism. Immediately to the team. I think he will be an awesome acquisition. But really, I only think Beal is going to be the one that has a chance of shaking loose this offseason, if I'm being honest. That's kind of where my expectations are right now.
I want to talk about one more sponsor, and then I'm going to throw the real question at you guys. All Pro Construction Builders. Alejandro's called it up. Make sure you check them out. Hurricane season is coming. You got to be prepared for it. They specialize in the impact windows and doors for residential and commercial properties. State certified, licensed, and insured general contractor. Just reach out to Danny. He'll tell you all about it. Okay, he's a big Heat fan. 305-484-4429. That's 305-484-4429. Or you can see him there on Instagram. You get a free estimate no matter what. But if you mention five reasons, you get 10% off your entire order. So reach out to Danny. It says that they service Miami-Dade and Monroe, but they also service Broward. Okay, so check that out if you're in Broward County as well. Just find out how much the impact windows and doors are. It's going to save you money in the long run, and your house might not blow away, which is a positive. We know here in South Florida, we're just like, we haven't had one of the big hurricanes in a long time. We're due. So check out All Pro Construction Builders. He's got a lot of clients right now, he told me, but he definitely could squeeze in one of our customers. So mention, again, five reasons and get your 10% discount. Let me throw this at you. If LeBron James this offseason, I'm just going to go straight to it. If LeBron James this offseason said, this thing's not, we can't trade Russ. None of these phantom trades that are occurring on Twitter are actually going to happen. Yes, I like the new coach because he played a role in Darvin Ham's hiring, but I don't think I can win here. If he said that, because I know that the relationship has been significantly repaired. Can I report that? Like, it has been significant. I know people have sensed it, but I've actually reported it recently. The relationship, but where is Alex? Okay, here's the thing. I know the relationship has been significantly repaired. I'll go to you first on this, Timmy. If LeBron James wanted to force his way to Miami, what would you say?
Yes. Yes. But I would not want to trade Jimmy Abraham for LeBron.
I mean, what are you trading? Duncan and
everything Pitt? Else. Everything
like,
else.
Like, I mean, to get to that salary, pretty much.
I know.
Sign and trade Deadman for the 40 mil.
They'll even throw in Omer.
No, Heat fans would not throw in Omer. They still want to see Omer next to Bam. We would get that, actually, right? Wouldn't we get that? Like, if they traded for LeBron, it's like, well, we just gave up on Omer's potential. This is how Heat fans are. I mean, I'm like that sometimes, too, so I'm not – not the only one. All right. So that, Timmy, you would say, are you both in agreement on that? If he forces, because here's what I think may happen. Okay. This is not a report, but this is just a sense that I get. LeBron, you know, his contract could be up after this season. And I wouldn't rule it out. I'm just going to leave it at that. I wouldn't rule it out. I don't think it's going to happen this year, but I wouldn't say that there's no chance that it happens the next year. That's just some snooping around that I've done recently and just kind of understanding what the relationship is. So I'm just throwing that bomb here in the 27th minute of Floor's Yours, but I'm just letting you guys know because I was curious. All right, some other questions that came in here. We'll do these more rapid fire. So we'll get to some of these questions. The question about Goran Dragic with the Heat this year. Alex, do you see any role point to that? Anything? Or again, does it matter if Lowry's traded and then Gabe is starting maybe?
Well, it definitely matters. And like we talked about in the episode last night on Five on the Floor, I think there's going to be a lot of ways where they will be able to keep Lowry if they were to get into a scenario with one of those aforementioned, all-star level guys. And that definitely factors into whether Goran would be able to have a role or not, because otherwise he definitely does not have a role. He's somebody who I think would only be able to play if guys are out, you know, in the regular season or in the, you know, probably not in the playoffs. You definitely do not want to end up in that situation and end up like the Brooklyn Nets playing him alongside other guys that in the playoffs when you know, right, that's not going to be the case for the Heat. So I just think, like, if he wants to come here and be a part of the team and be a part of that journey back to a late playoff run and not have much expectation of playing much at all, we welcome him back with open arms. Other than that, you cannot promise him a role.
Okay, and I've got that. I think, are we all in agreement on this one, basically?
Yeah, I think that's the big thing. Like, if Kyle was to be thrown in a deal for a certain guy and you have Gabe at the one, I don't see a reason not to go that route. Because, first of all, if people are going to bring up defense, like, if you're making the trade for and putting Kyle in a deal, you're also throwing some of your weaker defenders in that deal. Mm-hmm. Like that's kind of the thinking process there, that you have a bunch of defenders on the roster. You can survive with Goran as a kind of bench scorer, I guess, behind Gabe in that scenario. But I do agree with him. I think the only other way is if he feels like he just wants to be a part of the team, I guess, as a third string point guard. I feel like he would definitely welcome that. But there's probably still that competitive side of him that probably still thinks he could play, I guess, in this league.
All right, a couple more before we go. We appreciate all the comments and questions today. We are going to be here Thursday. We haven't exactly figured out how, because Brady, Alex, and I will actually be at the arena probably to wait all night for them to pick a player that's not actually going to be on the team, and then wait for Chet Kammerer, who supposedly is not with the organization anymore, to come out afterwards to address us, or Pat at about 1 a.m, which is always fun because, I mean, it's almost like he's had 10 glasses of wine. So we're going to have some fun with that on Thursday night. We'll see how late Pat stays up. It'll probably be past our bedtime. But I do want to get to a couple of other things here, because I think that as we look at some of the players that are out there on the market, obviously Nick Batum has been discussed. Jeremy Grant has been discussed. I saw Jonathan Isaac come in here. I don't know that that's someone they're going to want to get involved with. And you're shaking your head, Timmy. Give me the one, each of you, kind of give me the one guy who hasn't been talked about a lot who would be a good fit as an addition. Because we had PJ on the list last year, but like we were not, you know, there were like 12 bigs or fours that we discussed at that time. Give me the one guy. I'll start with you, Alex. Like sort of the one guy you'd be like, if this guy happens, we'll be like, okay, Alex said that this was a possibility and this guy made sense.
You ready? It's good that you asked me that today, because I had a random idea, and this is nothing that's been reported or a guy that's even been out there recently, but has been moved in the past, and I think is actually somebody I would not mind settling for. Again, this is not like the number one guy I want the Heat to trade for in the as an extra front court piece, but I remember last summer the Pelicans weren't they in on Duncan Robinson for a while? Like, they liked the idea of Duncan Robinson. I would trade Duncan Robinson straight up for Larry Nance Jr. if other options were to fall through, especially not that, again, I don't know if he's available or not, but that's a guy who could play the four or the five. Not exactly a shooter, but can hit an open three, right? He's not a stretch big. He's not a shooting big, but he can space the floor for you in a similar way to what PJ does. And I think he's a really good defender, solid rebounder. I think played a nice role for the Pelicans. So I'm not sure if they're going to want to move him now with Zion coming back. They seem like they're going to want to compete. So I don't know, because Duncan would probably make a lot of sense to space out the floor a little bit for those guys, specifically with Zion back. They have Jonas at the five there. That's just a random name I threw out. I would definitely be happy with Larry Nance for Duncan.
I will say this, that they have had interest in Duncan before. I know that Griff, again, a little volatile there, but he values him. Timmy, you got a guy?
I actually have two to be Jimmy's replacement. Backup, if Caleb has to go. Kenyon Martin Jr., who requested a trade today, I think it'd be a good, you know, a cheaper. I saw we did with Caleb, maybe Kenyon Martin Jr. and Torian Prince. And I think I've seen Torian Prince before, but that's always been my, you know, Jimmy backup. Like, I always think Torian Prince, and he also could play up to a four off the bench.
Brady?
Yeah, I'm probably cheating on this answer, but I don't think it's getting talked about maybe to the degree of some other ones, but The Marcus Morris thing, I feel like, is just interesting just because I know he made that tweet today about playing with his brother possibly, and his brother will probably be playing somewhere else. Like, so that's something else to monitor. But I think back, Ethan, even before the season, where you were saying that Markieff Morris could potentially start over PJ Tucker. Like, I think of that about potentially, like, if Markieff Morris was Marcus Morris, then right. Yes. Like, so that's where I kind of come down at it, that I think if you're talking about a certain four you're getting, I don't think Marcus Morris is a terrible option. Just talking about a guy that can shoot above the break, is versatile enough to play in Spo's system and not get played off the floor. And it's just a more solid version, I guess, of Markieff Morris, to put it, I guess, as other people describe it. So I feel like he's just somebody to watch. I don't know how the price would be, I guess. Maybe it's around the same as a lot of the other guys we're discussing, like Grant and these others. But I just feel like that makes sense because there's not much changes Spo has to make from going from Markieff to Marcus, I guess, in a single offseason.
I was going to go with a whole bunch of guys, but I'm just going to go with Alex's hologram because I think that's really what they need right now. Some of the ones that came North in girl. Here on the chat, Brogdon. Somebody does say, Ben, our favorite poster here, Ben.
Who is exactly. Alex trying to Ben Kenobi, the finale is tomorrow. Exactly. I'm a Force ghost.
Who with his bootleg HGTV background, that's pretty good. Somebody tweets here, posts here, Broham, if Marcus comes, we're beefing with Denver all over again. As long as we can get another Andy Ellisberg picture, we'll take it. All right, thanks, everybody, for following us tonight. We finally got our first Super Chat at the very end. I would really like Bobby Portis at the 4. We're not doing that again. Among 4. We did that all last year. Thanks to Brady. Thanks to Timothy. Thanks to Alex. We will be around tomorrow. Probably do a regular podcast, I would think, on 5 on the Floor. We have not started our new partnership with Fansided, but that's going to lead to some pretty cool things. And Thursday, we will do something. Some of us will be at the arena.
We also have spaces, guys. So tune in for some spaces in the evening to get your takes out before the draft starts. So me, Sean, Marco, Brian, Tony, we have spaces on the page.
That's perfect. All right. So spaces, check that out. Check out our sponsors, All Pro Construction Builders. Prize Picks, use that code 5, FIVE, betteredge.com/5reasons. Want to see you guys on there. Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network.